I read a quote recently that I found to be very interesting. It was confusing to me at first, but I had to think about it for a while. The quote was this: any faith that offers us complete freedom from fear is fraudulent. Any faith that offers us complete freedom from fear is fraudulent. Now, as I said, I had to think about that for a while, but the more I thought about those words and reflected on my own experience of life, I found myself resonating with those words, associating with those words. For I hear what that quote is saying in this way: anything or anyone who promises that if we agree with them or we accept what they are selling or teaching, then we will never be afraid again, that kind of faith is misguided and confused. Now, why? Well, because we as human beings naturally are fearful creatures. We are afraid of many things. And the reality is this: there is no permanent remedy or cure that will magically take away fear in our lives. There is nothing you can believe. There is nothing you can say. There is nothing you can take. There is nothing you can eat. There is no regimen you can follow that when you do it, you will never be afraid again. We turn to our faith in times when life becomes tough, and our faith certainly helps us. We turn to our faith when we are afraid, and our faith gives us strength and gives us courage, but we will be afraid again. Though that fear goes away, there will be fear that comes back. There will be more worry. There will be more anxiety. It will come back to us. That is simply how we are made. So, because we have to deal with this constant fear and worry and anxiety cycle in which we live, we turn to many other things to manage our fear. We turn to drugs, excessive drinking, chemical dependency. We turn to addictions of all types and natures. We turn to work. We turn to food. We turn to sleep. And all of these things numb that anxiety and fear that constantly keeps coming back to us. These things numb those awkward, difficult feelings for a while. But when they wear off, and they always wear off, our fear comes back, and it often comes back with a vengeance. You see, all of this is true this morning, but when we think about our own experience and then we reflect on what the Bible teaches us, then maybe we start to find ourselves a little confused. Doyle read earlier in our service today, 1 John chapter 4. In that wonderful paragraph, listen to these words again: perfect love drives out fear. There is no fear in love. Okay, so it sounds very clear. In perfect love, we will not be afraid. Then we think about what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, when all of my enemies are around me, I will not be afraid. But then we think about our own experience of this fear that constantly keeps coming back. And then we reflect upon, even in other places in Scripture, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, work out your salvation how? With fear and trembling. Well, which is it? Are we not supposed to be afraid? Are we supposed to be afraid, or do we currently experience fear in our lives? Well, one simple way that we have often solved this dilemma is to say that, well, while we are not to fear anything in this world, we are to fear God. We are to respect God. We are to have reverence for God. That is certainly true. But still, here is our experience. We may be told that we don't need to be afraid, of the things of this world. But we are afraid of the things of this world. We may be told that fear is not a necessary part of life, but somehow it keeps coming back day after day, week after week, month after month. So how do we face our fears? What is the role of faith in these times in life when we are afraid? If our faith cannot take away our fear, then how does our faith help us? I think these are very important questions, and we have from time to time talked about fear. We did so just a few months ago as we thought about the trees, and we talked about root systems, and those are important concepts, and we can't adequately cover this topic in one sermon or several sermons, but this morning as we read Psalm 27, what we can do is to point to some essential truths that I believe will help us in the life of faith. Let's begin by saying this. When something happens in life, initially experiencing fear is natural and normal. Feeling afraid is not a sin. I have mentioned to some of you before in various contexts that when I was doing my doctoral work in seminary, I had the opportunity to teach several preaching classes. And always in those preaching classes, because the students would have to stand up and preach in front of their fellow classmates, always an issue that came up in every single class were students who said, "I am so afraid to stand up and to preach." Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, public speaking is one of the greatest fears. And I will tell you, you are sometimes scary. That's how it just is, right? So that's the natural and normal experience. But we would say to these students time and time again, being nervous and afraid is natural and normal. In fact, I would say it this way. If you have the audacity to stand in a pulpit and try to say a word from God, you better be afraid. That is an awesome task and responsibility. A person should be afraid naturally, normally, for this task. I often pointed to the example of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Many of you know him as one of the greatest basketball players who ever played. And even late in his career, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was honest about his own fear playing basketball. He would say before almost every game, he got so nervous and so frightened before the game that he would make himself literally become sick. And he was one of the greatest basketball players ever. The point is, there are times in our life when we are going to be afraid. We're going to experience fear as a natural, normal part of life. It is not a sin to be afraid. But we might ask, but what does this scripture passage mean then? When we read 1 John chapter 4, when we read what the psalmist is writing about, how are we to understand it? It sounds like we're not supposed to be afraid, even though we are afraid. Well, let me tell you how I understand what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 27. This is how I read this passage. I think the psalmist is saying that though there are things in life that initially make him afraid, he will not continue to live in fear because of his faith. The verb that the psalmist uses here is a verb that, when it's accurately translated, what it means is my present experience will not continue into the future. Think about that. How I'm feeling right now will not continue to be my experience of life into the future. In other words, the psalmist is stating his faith in verse 1. He is saying, since the Lord is with me, since the Lord is my light, since the Lord is my salvation, why should I continue to be afraid? Though I am initially frightened when people come to attack me, though I am initially afraid when an army comes upon me, who wouldn't be, right? Well, he is saying, I will not continue to live in that kind of fear. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. The psalmist is not saying that if people come and attack him, or if a mob comes or an army comes after him, that he would not initially be afraid. That would not be normal for the human experience. But when he remembers that God is with him, when he remembers that God is in control of his life, when he remembers that God is his light and salvation, he will not continue to be controlled by that natural and normal fear. Let's think about this from another perspective. We've talked from time to time about the experience in the Gospels where Jesus is on the boat with his disciples and he falls asleep and the ravaging storm comes upon them. Now, the disciples, they know that Jesus can help them. They know he is with them. None of those things are questions for them. And when Jesus is in the boat with them, they should be good, right? But Jesus was asleep, and what do the disciples do? Well, they're afraid. Natural, normal fear to an element that they cannot control. So what do? They continue to be afraid, and they turn to Jesus, and they wake him up, and they ask him to help. And even when Jesus calms the wind and the waves and the storms, that's when Jesus says to them, "Why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, why did Jesus seem upset with them? Was he saying, "You should never have been afraid from the start"? No, I don't think so. What I hear Jesus saying is, and these are my words, "I understand, disciples, why you would initially be afraid. Most people would be. Anybody in a storm, in a boat, in a raging storm is going to initially be frightened. But when you saw me, when you remember that I'm in the boat with you, when you remember that I am your Lord and your Savior, you do not need to continue in your fear." That's the key for me. It's okay the disciples were initially afraid, but when they saw Jesus was with them, when they saw that he woke, when he saw that he calmed the storms and the winds and the rain, they had no reason to continue their current experience of life. That is just like the psalmist saying, "God is my light, God is my salvation, God is here with me. Now I realize I have no reason to continue in my fear." But there's something else here. Even though fear is natural and normal fear can become unhealthy for us in our lives if it continues and it festers and it grows. You see, that's what I believe is the part of the role of a healthy sense of faith. A healthy understanding of faith, a healthy relationship with God. What it does for us in those times of life when we are afraid is it tells us, it has our fear come into a context where we don't plunge into panic. In other words, our fear teaches us the right things to be afraid of and the right times to be afraid. Our fear teaches us to find security and assurance in the midst of our fear. I think all through life, whatever stage we're in life, we experience natural and normal kinds of fears. When we are children, we are afraid of the dark. We are afraid of monsters in the closet or under the bed. We are afraid of thunder and lightning. We are afraid of being alone. All of those things are natural and they are normal. When we become teenagers, our fears begin to change a little bit. We become afraid of not being accepted. We become afraid of what others are thinking of us. One of the most descriptive phrases that I think describes adolescence so well is, it is the time in life when, here's the quote, "I see you seeing me, and I see the me I think you see." It's when we start to be aware of what other people are thinking of us, and It's probably one of the first times in our lives when we really become worried, anxious, nervous, fearful about what others are thinking of who we are, because I see the me I think that you see. Again, those are natural and normal fears. And then when we become adults, again, our natural, normal fears begin to shift and change. We're fearful for our children. We're worried about our jobs. We're afraid about our health, our finances, the demands of the day. We become concerned and anxious and worried about strained relationships, about illnesses, about loneliness, about death. Again, these things are common experiences at all stages of life. It is this fear of the unknown that constantly makes its way into our minds and into our hearts, and we have to deal with it in all of these stages. Those kinds of fears are natural and normal because we can't see what's going to happen. Healthy faith does not suppress our natural and normal fears. It doesn't. Instead, a healthy, strong sense of faith directs our faith, our fear, into creative channels. Instead of suppressing that which is natural and normal, a healthy sense of faith redirects, rechallenges, or channels our fear into creative opportunities. Psychology tells us that when we are threatened, the two most common experiences for us as human beings are fight or flight, right? We either want to fight or we want to run away. These are natural, normal responses. What our faith does is give us another opportunity, another way to face our fear, because it can channel our fear and our anxieties and our worries into creative opportunities in our life. Let me give you an example. The psalmist here in Psalm 27, he is very concerned about the past. In fact, I would say he is fearful of his own past. He was remorseful about something he had done earlier in life that was bothering him. Remember what he wrote in verses 9 and 10. Listen to these words. He says very clearly in those verses, God, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away from your servant in anger, because I've done something wrong. You have been my helper. Do not reject me. Do not forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You see, he is fearful, anxious, worried about something in the past. But as he reflects on his faith and he understands who God is, that kind of creative way of dealing with his fear becomes a new opportunity. The psalmist says later, the Lord will receive me. Later in another psalm, he writes, but there is forgiveness with God. In other words, he understands that in his fear, his faith gives him a new creative way of dealing with that fear. The prophet Micah says, God delights in mercy. Think about that. God doesn't delight in power. God doesn't delight in justice and us getting what we deserve. No, God delights in mercy, grace. For those of us who fear the past, our faith gives us creative ways of dealing with that kind of fear. But being afraid of the past, that's just one way our faith redirects our fears into creative channels of life. It is through the eyes of faith, and it is only through the eyes of faith that we are able to deal with and to face even the fear of the unknown. It is through the eyes of faith that we are given courage when we anxiously await a report from the doctor. It is through the eyes of faith that we are given hope when we experience physical pain and we don't know where it's coming from. It is through the eyes of faith that we are given strength and encouragement to endure a strained relationship, even though we don't know how to remedy the problems that are there. It is through our eyes of faith that we experience hope, even if we expect or anticipate that we're going to lose our job or we're going to get fired. It is through the eyes of faith that we are given strength and encouragement when we stand at the graveside of a loved one and we wonder in our minds, how am I going to make it without this person who has been such an important part of my life? It is only through the eyes of faith that God gives us the courage and the strength to face the fear of living with the unknowns that come to us in life. It is our faith that helps us to remember what the psalmist says. When our God is with us, what reason would we have to fear anything in life? To continue living in fear is not something we have to do. We remember that while everyone is afraid at times, it is not natural or normal for us as believers to let our fear and faith and let our fear dominate our faith and control our lives. The psalmist says, no, hold on to your faith. There is no need to be afraid, for the Lord is with you. Wait on the Lord. The book Bedtime for Francis is a children's book about a little girl who's having a very hard time going to sleep at night. She's lying in her bed and she sees a large shape looming over in the corner of her room. The longer she looks at it in that quasi-darkness of her room, the more frightening that shape becomes. In fact, she thinks that she sees it move, and so she jumps out of bed and runs into the living room where her mother and father are watching TV, and Frances yells, "There's a tiger in my room." Her father takes her by the hand. He leads her back to her room, he puts her back into bed, and he turns on the light and he shows her that what she thought was a tiger is actually a pile of clothes, a pile of clothes she needed to put in her closet. He turns the lights off and encourages her to go back to sleep, but as much as she tries to go back to sleep, now though she knows what's in the corner, she hears something against her window panes. The longer she listens to the bumping and brustling against the window, the more frightened she becomes. So again, she jumps out of bed and this time runs to the bathroom where her father is brushing his teeth. And somehow she says, "Someone is trying to get into my room." And once again, her father takes her by the hand and leads her back to the room. And he shows her that it's just the wind brushing some limbs and leaves up against the window pane. And he says she can go back to sleep. What's the point? Everything that terrifies Frances loses its grip in the presence of her father. Everything that makes her afraid loses its power when her father is there. It's not that her fear was wrong. No, it was natural and normal. It just needed to be comforted by faith in her father. So what are you afraid of today? What worries you? What fears keep you awake at night? What concerns give you stomach aches during the day? How is fear controlling your life? In his ministry, Jesus said, "God is your Father. He cares for you and loves you." The psalmist said, "With our Heavenly Father as our light and our salvation, we don't need to continue to be afraid." No. The psalmist says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord." Let us pray. Good and gracious God, in these uncertain times, in these often difficult days, we confess that there are times when we are anxious, there are times when we are worried, there are times, yes, when we are afraid. But God, we hear the words of the psalmist and we're reminded this morning, you are in the boat with us. Your presence is real and powerful in our lives. It is your presence, your mercy, and your grace that make it possible for us to continue living without our fear dominating and controlling our lives. So, Lord, on this day, as we continue through these uncertain days, help us to wait on you. Help us to take heart. Help us to know we are always near to the heart of God. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.